Hi, I'm Beda Hill, and this is The D Word, the show where we talk dementia. Welcome along for another hour of Dementia Talk and Music. This week I'm sure we have something that is truly original. In all 169 shows, I've never considered how metal detecting can be used as a basis of setting up a reminiscence programme. That's exactly what this week's guest Steve Kiley has done, and Steve will be joining me after the Render Sisters. Render Sisters from their excellent debut album and Little Dreamer. This week's guest is Steve Kiley from memorydetecting.com, a reminiscence programme based around his hobby as a metal detectorist. So what prompted Steve to get involved with a reminiscence programme?
Well, first, thank you, Pete, for having me on the show. I appreciate it very much. And how did it start? You know, it's kind of an interesting story. I was in an assisted living facility. I don't know if that translates, an assisted living facility. Okay. So I'm in there and I'm looking at the walls, and I see on the wall some pictures or images of old artifacts. And I thought, I'm a metal detectorist and bottle digger, and maybe seniors would be interested in seeing some of the artifacts that I have found. And so that's sort of how it started. And it was sort of a collision of my occupational therapy background with my metal detecting hobby. And all of a sudden it became a program for seniors. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of strange route, isn't it? To start with your metal detecting. I've seen a quote for you. It says you never know what interesting memories lie beneath the surface, which is obviously true. And what kind of stuff are you finding?
Yeah, that's half the fun of the program is you never know what's going to resonate with seniors. And so the things that I'm finding are, believe it or not, as a metal detector, you find marbles, you find glass too, you find bottles. So you start off looking for metal, of course, but you find what's called bottle pits and things like that. So marbles has really resonated. That's one of the biggest ones. I don't know how popular in the UK marbles were in the 1940s and 1950s. Yeah, very popular. It seems like nationally, throughout the world, marbles was pretty big. But that's one. Milk bottles, another one. Milk was delivered to people's homes. So they go back in time and think about how they used to fight with their siblings, jokingly, of course, for the cream that's on the top, you know, early when you just got the milk. So milk bottles tend to bring people back, and marbles tend to do that. Old pocket watches or remnants of, you know, those kinds of things. So it's just, you never know what's going to resonate, with the seniors, but they seem to enjoy those and others. Yep.
Yeah, and I guess it's, you know, talking to people living with dementia, sometimes very difficult to communicate. And when you find one of those things that you've got something in common, it's a really good conversation starter.
It really is. It's sort of a prompt, right, or a catalyst to discussions. And the best feeling I get is when I'm doing these programs. So here I am. I walk into the building. I've got three or four crates of things. I put them out on the table, and I have a PowerPoint presentation, and we start off with something very boring, with an old nail that I find. And that's usually an indication of how old a site is. So if I find a square nail or a cut nail, I know it's from the 1800s, early 1900s. So I start off with that, just sort of give an overview of what I'm looking for. But you're right. Now I start the program, and it's very satisfying when people chime in, right? So you get one person who might start to talk about old memories of playing marbles, as I said. And then all of a sudden you have others that sort of, it becomes synergistic. You know, people start to chat here and there and really talk about real details. And that's the interesting thing from a dementia perspective, right? They can remember the bag, the color of the bag that the marbles were in and who they played with. You know, and I know as I get older too, my short-term memory starts to, you know, not be as strong, but I can also remember things from my youth much with more clarity sometimes. So anyway, it's interesting to see how that happens with these patients and these residents at these different locations. Yeah, it's fascinating, actually.
Yeah, it must be a bit of a two-way street. I mean, obviously, you're starting up conversations, but you must be learning a lot as well.
Man, you nailed it. You nailed it every single time. And you're right. It's, you know, so rewarding for me as well, because you're exactly right. Every single time I do a program, I leave there and I think that was cool because why? I learned something new about an item. You know, you can Google search and you can find out a lot of information, and you really do find out a lot of information about some of these artifacts. But when you have someone explain to you what the real deal was, you know, how they fixed those pocket watches when they broke, or the specific games that they played when they played marbles. For instance, when I was a kid, we didn't play marbles. We used to, our game probably was, as it was related to that, is scaling cards, like baseball cards. We used to do that. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that was our sort of game of that time. But I didn't know a whole lot about marbles. But anyway, that's one example of, yeah, you learn something every single time, and it's extremely rewarding because that's what I really enjoy. That's why I picked up the hobby, you know, in the first place. So it's a win-win situation, no doubt.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, when I was working with people living with dementia, they taught me how to play dominoes. So, you know, it's it very much is a two-way street. I mean, you've got a few programs on offer. Tell us a little about the, you know, the programs that you do offer.
Sure. It's really two in to simplify. So we do a local program. I live in Massachusetts. So Massachusetts and Rhode Island is within driving distance for a local program. So like I say, I bring in the artifacts to these senior centers and nursing homes and assisted living facilities. And this is a 1-hour program. We provide, you know, the artifacts themselves with the PowerPoint presentation to sort of offer some context to each artifact. And so that's one program, the local program. Then we have a membership program. So the membership program is 4 of those live programs. Now it's virtual, right? That's the difference between the local program and the membership program. But we also provide like a 52-week a year program where you actually have reminiscence activities that you can do with seniors or a senior each and every week. And some of it's reminiscence bingo, old newspaper articles from the 40s, actual newspaper articles from the 40s and 50s. And so each week has new and interesting reminiscence programs included in each week, if that makes sense. Yeah. So those are the two programs, a local program and a membership program.
Do you think we kind of don't value some of those old items, like you were saying about old newspaper cuttings and whatever, and the you know, the power that they can produce kind of later on in time?
Yeah, you know, something, I think the newspaper articles in particular, because they're the actual newspaper articles. So the artifacts do the same thing. It's that imagery, I think. But when you look at the newspaper articles, again, I love it because I get to learn something each and every time I discover a new article or ad or thing that I want to include in the program. But it really does put things in perspective. And some of it is as simple as retail prices. You know, if you see cars advertised and other items and you're like, oh my God, you know, that was the price then. So something like that, or the news of the day, which, you know, isn't as pleasant sometimes and it was sort of an eye-opening thing. I probably don't want to go down that road too much, but all I need to say is, you know, things were tough and, you know, tough times during that period. And so some of that I try to limit a little bit of because I don't want it to be sort of a negative thing, but I try to keep the headlines positive. But it's just sort of an eye-opener for me that, yeah, obviously – difficult times in the 40s, early 40s in particular, late 30s, and so forth. So anyway, you do learn something, and it's definitely the imagery that sparks the memories.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
There's memories, and then there's a memory that wraps you up and never lets you go. There's melodies, and then there's a melody that keeps the door open somewhere in your soul. Sometimes you hold things closer once you know it's over. Maybe it was all about time, we ran out of words worth rhyming. Maybe it was hard to let it go as we said goodbye on a high note. Maybe that's how it was meant to be. Maybe we didn't do a damn thing wrong. 'Cause all the best records go out on a sad song. Something beautiful, still something beautiful, even when it makes you cry. I hope you stop and smile, even just for a little while. If I ever cross your mind, oh, maybe it was all about time. We ran out of words worth rhyming. Maybe it was hard to let it go, 'cause we said goodbye on a high note. Maybe that's how it was meant to be. Maybe we didn't do a damn thing wrong. 'Cause all the best records go out on a sad song. Maybe it was all about time when we ran out of words worth rhyming. Looking back, I don't know why we let it go, but we said goodbye on a high note. Maybe that's how it was meant to be. Maybe we didn't do a damn thing wrong. 'Cause all the best records, all the best records, all the best records. Yeah, they do.
Like that a lot. Daniel Radcliffe and Sad Song here on The D Word. Just want to take a minute to mention the Homeopathy Health Programme here on UK Health Radio that's hosted by our friend Atiq, who invited me to be his guest on the show. You can give it a listen at ughealthradio.com, where all our shows are on Listen Again and Download, and they're also available on podcast. And Atiq also has his own TikTok channel, which is well worth a look. My guest this week is Steve Kiley, who successfully turned his hobby into a reminiscence program.
Sure. And I can't help but mention here, you know, metal detecting is a hobby, a passion of mine. And I've actually only been doing it for about 5 years now. But I do watch some of these metal detectorists in the UK and in France and so forth. And I can't help but mention to you, since I'm speaking to you, how jealous I am of the history. You know, here in the United States, we find something, or I do, I found some items, you know, that were from the 1700s. And for us, that's incredibly old. You know, that's fantastic. And I get pretty jazzed up about that. You know, some old silver reals from the 1700s, old belt buckle, old shoe buckles, old pewter spoons, those kinds of things from the 1700s. In the UK, you know, you got things that are thousands of years old. So, you know, it is amazing to put things in context about history, no doubt about it. So I don't think there's any, I don't know of anyone who quite does it like this, although there are metal detectorists who do history, you know, and I find that fascinating too. They kind of, some people just find items and that's it. They display them, they talk about them, they're excited about them. But some, one in particular I'm thinking about in the United States, he sort of relates it to history, American history, and I find that fascinating. But you're right, I don't know of anyone who, it must be because of my occupational therapy background, that's the only reason why I sort of, I think, guided me to that reminiscence program. But I don't think there's anyone that does this that I'm aware of anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you are, you know, you're metal detectorist, I mean, what kind of sites do you aim at, or you know, where do you look?
Yeah, and that's, you know, a lot of metal detectorists in the United States is sort of a joke that it's usually a guy about my age who's wearing sandals and black socks, and he's walking around, which I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, walking on the beach, right? So they're on the beach. That's the imagery. For me, I enjoy finding – I don't do that, not that I haven't done it a couple times, but I like to find these old sites. So now with technology, there's an app that I use, and I can actually look at a map of what it used to be. So meaning I'm standing at a point, and it shows me on a map of like 1880 where that point is. So that's what I basically do. I try to find – you know, old sites, and I use technology to help me find some of those old sites. And that's half the fun of it too. Not only learning from the seniors, but I enjoy actually finding these old sites too and researching them. And that's part of, like I say, the education and the learning piece. Yeah,
but, you know, most definitely. I mean, looking at, on your website, you've got other things as well, like a lifetime memory journal, which is, you know, a really interesting aspect of things as well, because, you know, we tend to take things for granted in our past sometimes, don't we? And don't kind of, you know, dwell on those things, whereas something like that gives us the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. And Pete, that's something I, you know, that I feel strongly about, that I like in the program. And, you know, when I do the local programs in particular, I hear these, I find them very fascinating stories, some interesting stories. And I just think it's a great opportunity to document these things, you know, and with a lifetime memory journal, that's part of the memory. Thank you for mentioning that. Actually, that's part of the program where an activities director or a caregiver is prompted, or the senior is prompted by this artifact, and all of a sudden a flood of memories might come out and some details and some interesting stories. And it's an opportunity. That's all it is, an opportunity to document some of these interesting stories and memories. So yeah, that's part of the, thanks for bringing that up, actually. That's part of the program as well, an important part of the program as well. Yeah.
I thought that a woman would live forever. I guess I grew up, but I swear she never grew old. Sometimes I put on a favorite sweater when I'm all alone and the world feels cold. She'd say you should have known me when I was 20, when life was a long road ahead. I had a ball and I'd do it all again. Remember me beautiful, remember me young, remember me smiling, my face towards the sun. Remember me happy when you remember what
Remember Me Beautiful from the excellent Brandy Clark here on The D Word. We'd love to hear from you. We're on Twitter at Radio TDW, the Radio TDW Facebook resource page, and by email to tdwradio@gmail.com. Back to my guest now, Steve Kiley from memorydetecting.com, who provide reminiscent programmes with the help of technology that has advanced so much in the past few years.
You're right. I don't take it for granted. You know, definitely mention that it's much better to hear stories from seniors than to Google search. You know, it brings the artifacts to life that the seniors do for me and telling me all these stories and that puts things in context. However, by being able to research things and have some imagery and put that artifact in context and for the senior to see that, that's what helps to prompt all the different stories and memories. So yeah, we are lucky. I don't take it for granted. I mean, I'm still amazed, right, by that. Even the technology for finding these sites, you know, where I can have this map in the palm of my hand, and it's a map of, like I say, 1880. And even though I'm standing on, a street that was designed in the 60s or 70s, it shows me on a 1880 map and helps me to find some of these old sites that have sort of been forgotten. So you're right. Technology is a big, big part of the overall ability for me to have the program. So yeah, definitely helpful. Yeah.
Keeps his radio show going as well, to be honest, because, you know, I couldn't have done this probably 10 years ago in terms of technology. You've got a blog on the site as well. We've got some interesting articles, and I think it all kind of, it's a big mishmash that all feeds together, isn't it? That, you know, it's all about communication, really, and getting people talking.
Yeah, and you know something, that's definitely... you're right. The blog is the goal of the blog is to get people talking, right? To get people thinking, to get maybe the activities directors in the nursing homes or assisted living facilities to maybe, you know, bring that up too. I think one of the articles is about marbles. There's another one about I don't know how I describe this, but there was the cowboys in the United States were popular. Hopalong Cassidy and Roy Rogers and others, right? So I found what looked like a cap gun. Does that resonate to a cap gun? Like, you know, so I thought it was that, but it was a Hopalong Cassidy gun, which was a slide projector from the 40s. Now, this is one of the you had said what some of the things you find, right? And everything's different as far as it resonating with people. But this Hopalong Cassidy, they love that, you know, and it brings them back to the Western cowboys of the 40s and the 50s. So, you know, here I am Googling, thinking it's a cap gun, but then I put in the trademark and the markings, and all of a sudden it's a Hopalong Cassidy slide projector that looks like a gun. But anyway, that's one of the ones that I bring in that is definitely one that resonates with a good majority of the senior population. But you're right, the blog is the goal is just to put that out there and hopefully get people talking about those cowboys of the 40s and the 50s. And yeah, the artifact is just a prompt. And you know, it's funny, Pete, you could probably, isn't it kind of amazing, right? This stuff was in the ground. You know what I mean? And talk about finding new life. It's kind of cool to me, right? Something that was basically someone's trash or discarded or dropped, right? And now is providing stimulation, entertainment, good memories, you know, and so that's kind of cool. You know, it's kind of a neat thing, no doubt.
Yeah, really. You know, it's exciting, and yeah, it's great to look back at those things. I think it goes back to what we were saying earlier in the conversation, that perhaps we take for granted a lot of the stuff that we have. And it's, I don't know, how do you think the world's going to go on? Because, you know, obviously we now see that people are less likely to have collections of things because we're into the world of downloads and, you know, probably, you know, your life is in the cloud instead of in front of you now, which is, you know, it's the way things, I guess, will progress.
Yes. Well, I think my wife would prefer that a lot of my artifacts are in the cloud. I got a spot in the cellar, so it's all mine, my spot. But that's funny you say that. And you're right. I speak once in a while to antique dealers and things. And you're right. I'm told that the trend is people don't want stuff. They don't want stuff. They're trying to get rid of stuff, right? So yeah, I don't know what that's going to mean to the value of artifacts and antiques and things like that. But yeah, that's all changed a lot. And how will they reminisce in the future? I don't know. You know, although ironically, I guess the most popular antiques and artifacts now are what I wouldn't even consider that old, but technology games from the 80s and 70s, you know, old games that they used on your TV and so forth. So, but things have changed from that perspective too. I think our desire or need to have antiques around is probably decreasing, and our interest in it is probably decreasing as a whole. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. Cause you're right. It's on the cloud. that's the thing now. So yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
the station that makes you feel good.
One of my favourite singer-songwriters, John Hiatt, and I'll Never Get Over You. My guest this week is Steve Kiley, whose hobby as a metal detectorist has led to a series of reminiscence programmes. One of the really exciting things about the project is that you don't know what you're going to find. There's something different every time.
Yes, and yes, on the website too, there's an image that I created that says basically just that. You know, you start off with a stimulus, right, or a prompt, an artifact, and you don't know what direction, just what you said. So, you know, you start off with that milk bottle. Milk bottle's delivered. Oh, you think about delivery men, you know, and, oh, they used to come in the morning and how the morning was. And, oh, I used to fight with my fight. When I say fight, I'm putting air quotes, you know, to get the cream on the top. And now you talk about your siblings, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's you don't know where it's going to go. And that's half the fun, you know. So you have, say, I bring, there's 50 artifacts in each program. I have 6 different programs. And so when I start to talk about an artifact, I might have done the same program the day before or the week before, and it goes in a whole different direction, you know. Soda, I think, oh, this one. In the United States, we have this soda called Moxie. It's not popular anymore. It was popular in the 40s and 50s. And I'll have one group that as a whole, they'll be like, oh, I loved Moxie soda. I remember those old bottles. And then the next, you know, program I do, that was terrible. That was the worst, you know, and they'll talk about their experience with so you just don't know, you know, you don't know where it's going to go. And one quick story, we're talking about not pocket watches, but pocket knives. And I said, boys and men and women, they don't carry around as much pocket watches and pocket knives. And in this one program, I had a gentleman reach into his pocket and guess what he had in his pocket, you know? So he was proud of the fact that, you know, he had a pocket knife, and I didn't expect that. That was an unusual situation there too. So once again, you don't know what's going to happen during these programs for sure.
Yeah, you know, that's what makes it worthwhile. You know, I'm sure it makes it worthwhile for you, and it would make it worthwhile for me. I usually ask my guests who are, you know, involved in project what the reaction has been to that project. But looking at your website, I mean, it's been really, really positive, I guess.
Yeah, we've got a lot of testimonials there, and that feels good. And there's nothing more rewarding, really. After you leave a program, you feel uplifted. You know, you feel like you've done some good, even though it's a little good, you know, and how long it lasts, I don't know. But there was some good done there that day. And yeah, it's nice to have those testimonials from activities directors, you know, at these nursing homes and at these senior centers and seniors, of course, most importantly. So yeah, the reception has been good, and it's been rewarding for sure. Yeah, feels good.
Yeah, if you feel, you know, anybody to look into that on a more academic basis, because you know, talking about what we were saying earlier, that you're doing something unique here, and it seemed to me it'd be a really good basis for a kind of a study on you know, what people are getting out of it.
Yeah, I've thought about, because, you know, the scope of what I understand is pretty narrow. I'm not a neurologist. You know, I'm not a specialist, as you know, probably a lot more about dementia than I do. I've had some education on working with patients with dementia. I'm certainly not ignorant to it at all. But yeah, I would actually like to reach out to these people who would understand at a much deeper level what impact positive this specific program has. I mean, it's pretty much understood that reminiscing, that's been pretty well documented, and smart people, brilliant people have determined that reminiscing is good. But, you know, this in particular, this program, I wonder, you know, what data would say, you know, how effective is it? And why is it effective, and how it could be better, you know, those kinds of things. So you're right. I have thought about something along those lines, reaching out, you know.
Yeah, because I think, you know, one kind of aspect of the show is we try to promote things which are not medical related. Because, yeah, I know a bit about dementia, but I'm not an expert on the medical side or the treatments. But the more and more I talk to people around the world is the effect and the effectiveness of just these social programs in the way that you're presenting. It's getting people together and getting people to communicate. I think sometimes we lose the value of, you know, how important that is.
Absolutely true, because after a program, I do hear the seniors chatter about how awesome it was to get together. And they get together, you know, they have, you mentioned vinyl, so you probably like music, right? And music, talk about the ability of music to have people reminisce. And they have these programs and they get together. But when they get together, probably for those programs, they're just watching and listening to the presenter. And my goal, and they enjoy it a lot, and it has obviously a big purpose. But my goal is always to talk less and listen more and try to prompt people, just like you're doing with me here today, get people to talk, right? And so that is nice, because when I leave, I do hear that. This was nice. And there's sort of a camaraderie, a shared experience that they have that they may not have known that they had, you know, whether it was a simple thing like playing marbles, or now they have some commonality, if you will. So it is a good opportunity to get people talking and get people together and sharing their experiences, all of that. So, yeah, it kind of hits on a lot of different levels. And hey, some of these things that we bring, they're not in people's memory banks. You know, when I'm talking about 1700s things, you know, I kind of jokingly said, hey, anybody remember in the 1700s, you know, something like that. And I don't even know if that's appropriate. I shouldn't say that. But anyway, so a lot of things are more history driven, I guess, you know, or discovery, which people do like to discover things. So I think a lot of people do. So, you know, it's not all in their zone, wheelhouse, you know what I mean? It's not a perfect 1940s, 1950s. Some of it's a little earlier. Maybe their parents and grandparents utilized it and they still remember it, you know, even though they didn't, but they remember their parents or their grandparents kind of thing. So, you know, there's a little bit of everything, a little history, a little discovery, certainly a lot of reminiscing. But yeah, it's a little bit different for everyone too, depending on their age as well. So,
yeah. And I guess the other aspect is the tactile aspect. Mm. You're actually bringing artifacts so people can feel and touch, which, you know, is also another, you know, important aspect.
Yes. Now, and that's, I'll tell you, that's the biggest challenge for the membership program versus the local program. The local program is great. You know, we pass along these, you know what, a lot of people will come up after too, because they want to see a particular or a couple of particular artifacts. But you're right, the tactile aspect of it is big. It's a big part of the program. So in the membership program, the member doesn't have the luxury, if you will, of touching the artifact, right? So it's been my job to try to figure out how to make that reminiscence program of greater value, if you will, clinical value anyway. So that's a challenge, to try to create imagery it's not going to replace the tactile aspect, because it is so important, but to make it something that's definitely worthwhile is the continued challenge in the membership program, just to make it even more stimulating, more interesting for these seniors, even though they're not able to touch them. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, just listening to you, I think it's great that, you know, you're not only thinking of the present, obviously learning a lot about the past, but also looking to the future of, you know, how things can develop.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good way to put it. It's very stimulating, because, couldn't have said it better. You're right. You're focused on looking at reminiscing in the past, but and how, you know, we're talking about maybe working with neurologist or getting some more data or whatever it is to try to figure out how to make this better based on what we know now. So yeah, it incorporates so many things, and my metal detecting, you know, passion and so forth. I mean, I couldn't be in a better spot as far as interest and exciting and satisfying, spot. So it's a lot of fun. It's very interesting and stimulating for sure.
Well, unfortunately, time is bringing us to a close. We've done, I think, 169 shows.
Wow.
And we've found fascinating aspects. And in you, we found another one to talk about, because there are so many wide and varied things that that are going on, trying to improve the quality of life for people living with dementia. I just want to congratulate you on what you've got together. It's a, going back to what we were saying earlier, it's a totally unique aspect.
Thank you, Pete. And thanks for having me on the show. And thanks for what you do to educate the public as far as dementia is concerned. I know that's a passion of yours. And thank you for having me on the show. And thank you for doing what you do. Appreciate it very, very, very much.
My thanks to Steve, and you can find out more about his work at memorydetecting.com. That's it for another week. Thanks as always to Angela, our production assistant. Next week, my guest will be Eric Kolb from Songs and Smiles, a dementia resource from Texas. So until then, thanks for listening and take care now.